Hello. Welcome to Blacter. Join me as I examine the best of black artists in my quest to becoming one myself. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Blacter. I'm your host, Gabe Moses. This is the second to last episode of Season 1. It's been a great ride, and I'm already planning for Season 2. More information to come next week. On Tuesday, September 15th, the two-part season finale will be released. I had the privilege of talking with two amazing artists for two amazing interviews. You don't want to miss it. Today's episode is dedicated to the one and only Lorraine Hansberry. As an activist and a playwright, Hansberry lived a short yet successful life. Throughout the episode, I'll be talking about her upbringing in Chicago, her role in activism, and her masterpiece of a play, A Raisin in the Sun. So, let's get into it. Lorraine Vivian Hansberry was born on May 19, 1930, in Chicago, Illinois. She was the youngest of four children. Her mother, Nanny Perry Hansberry, was a school teacher, and her father, Carl Augustus Hansberry, worked as a real estate broker. Early in her life, Hansberry's parents gave money to the NAACP and the Urban League. By 1938, their family relocated to a white neighborhood and was violently targeted by their neighbors. They were forced to move by court's order, and their case made it to the Supreme Court as Hansberry versus Lee. Her family was frequently visited by W.E.B. Du Bois, Langston Hughes, Paul Robeson, Duke Ellington, and Jesse Owens. At a very young age, she was surrounded by successful black figures. She graduated from Betsy Ross Elementary in 1944 and went on to attend Inglewood High School. For college, she decided to go a different route than what her family had expected. Instead of a predominantly black college in the South, Hansberry attended the University of Wisconsin-Madison. There, she changed her major from painting to writing, and after 2 years, she dropped out and moved to New York City. She moved to Harlem to become a writer. She attended the New School for Social Research. She then worked for Paul Robeson's black newspaper called Freedom. She was a writer and associate editor for the newspaper for several years. While doing this job, Hansberry also worked part-time as a waitress and a cashier to make extra money. She was writing her own projects with the spare time she had. The world was unfolding before her eyes. While on the job, she began to write articles and excerpts about the events happening around her. Social injustice, white supremacy, and violent acts of racism were just a few of many subjects she discussed. Hansberry was using her talent and her work as her voice to call for change. She was becoming a young activist. In June of 1953, she married Robert Nemiroff, who was also an activist and publisher for newspapers. The two began working together on projects. Little did he know that Hansberry was a closeted lesbian. In 1957, the couple separated in the midst of the peak in Hansberry's career. By this point, she had written her first play called The Crystal Stair. The title was taken from the Langston Hughes poem Mother and Son. She soon decided to change the title to what it is known as today, A Raisin in the Sun. This new title was also taken from a line in one of Hughes's poems called Harlem. The poem reads as follows. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat? Or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode? The play centers around a black lower-class family in Chicago and their desire to achieve their own idea of the American dream. I'll be discussing the play and its major success when we come back. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the episode. In March of 1959, Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun premiered on Broadway at the Ethel Barrymore Theater. Lorraine Hansberry became the first black woman to have a play produced on Broadway. She was only 29 years young. The production was directed by Lloyd Richards and starred Sidney Poitier as Walter Lee Younger and Ruby Dee as his wife, Ruth Younger. The play tells the story of the Younger family. They have recently received a life insurance check after the death of Mama's husband, the matriarch of the family. The check is for $10,000, and the family must decide how to use it. Mama wants to buy a new house for the family and save money for her daughter Benita to go to school. Walter wants to invest the money in his own business that he believes will bring in more money for the family. Throughout the play, the family struggles to find their true purpose through secrets, love, and passion. Here's a clip of a scene between Walter Lee and Ruth from the 1961 film.
A man say to his woman, I got me a dream. She says, eat your eggs, they getting cold. Man say to his woman, help me now to take a hole in this world somehow. And she says, eat your eggs and go to work. I tell you, I gotta change my life because I'm choking to death. And all you say to me is, eat these eggs. I'm looking in the mirror this morning and I'm thinking, I'm 35 years old. I'm married 11 years. And I got a boy who's got to sleep in the living room because I got nothing, eh? Nothing to give him but stories. Like on how rich white people live, eh?
Eat your eggs, Walter.
Damn these eggs. Damn all the eggs that ever was.
And go to work.
I'm trying to talk to you about me. Now, all you're going to say to me is, eat these eggs?
You never say nothing new. I listen to you every day, every morning, every night. You never say nothing new. So you'd rather be Mr. Arnold than be a chauffeur. So I'd rather be living in Buckingham Palace.
And that's just what's wrong with a colored woman in this world today. You don't understand about building your men up, making them feel like they're somebody, like they can do something.
All colored men who do things.
No thanks to the colored woman.
Being a colored woman, I guess I can't help myself none.
Hansberry does a beautiful job of capturing the black experience in 1950s Chicago. The world was not used to seeing this kind of content on stage, or any platform for that matter. The all-black cast, sans one character, Mr. Carl Linder, received mixed reviews from critics. Their first Broadway run ended in June of 1960. Hansberry went on to be the youngest winner and the first black playwright of the New York Critics Circle Award. The play was also nominated for several Tony Awards, including Best Play. The play was adapted into a film with the same cast in 1961. There were many other adaptions, but we'll get to those in a bit. In the early 60s, Hansberry continued writing during this time, while also being a voice for black queer women who could not live their true lives. Her second and last play, called The Sign in Sidney Brunstein's Window, came out in 1964. The story takes place in New York City and centers around Sidney and his struggles as an unsuccessful writer. The play also discusses race, suicide, and homosexuality. It premiered on Broadway in October of 64. Not as successful as A Raisin in the Sun, but still a gift to the American theater and a testament to Hansberry's talents as a writer. Hansberry was very active in the civil rights movement in what would be the last 2 years of her life. She was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer while her second play was on Broadway. During this time, she fought to stay alive and be the artist she was born to be. On January 12, 1965, Lorraine Hansberry passed away peacefully at the age of 34. The world was heartbroken. James Baldwin and Martin Luther King were some of the few who gave heartfelt words at her funeral. Her legacy will forever live on, and Raisin in the Sun has gone down as one of the greatest plays in American history. In 1973, the play was adapted into a musical called Raisin. In 1989, it was made into a TV film on PBS starring Danny Glover and Esther Rolle. The play returned to Broadway in 2004 with an all-star cast: Sean P. Diddy Combs, Felicia Rashad, Audra McDonald, and Sanaa Lathan, to name a few. 4 years later, that same cast returned to their roles in the 2008 TV film, which also included John Stamos, Ron Cephas Jones, David Oyelowo, and Sean Patrick Thomas. It was most recently revived on Broadway in 2014 at the same theater it premiered at in 1959. The production was directed by Kenny Leon and starred Denzel Washington as Walter Lee. Hansberry's ex-husband celebrated her life by making a collection of her works through her writings and interviews. This collection was titled To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. The show ran on Broadway back in the 60s for 8 strong months. Nina Simone later dedicated a song to Miss Hansberry with the same title. You can learn more about this on Episode 3 if you missed it. To end this episode, Alyssa Ramsey will be reciting a famous monologue from A Raisin in the Sun as the character Beneatha. In this monologue, Beneatha uses a childhood story to wrap her head around her beliefs and relationship with God. If you are not familiar with A Raisin in the Sun, you are truly missing out on a genius piece of work. Lorraine Hansberry will always be remembered for her leadership and activism and her amazing gift as a writer and a playwright. With that being said, please enjoy this monologue from A Raisin in the Sun.
When I was very small, we used to take our sleds out in the wintertime, and the only hills we had were the ice-covered stone steps of some houses down the street. And we used to fill them with snow and slide down them all day. And it was very dangerous, you know, far too steep. And sure enough, one day a kid named Rufus came down too fast and hit the sidewalk, and we saw his face just split open right there in front of us. And I remember standing there looking at his bloody open face, thinking that was the end of Rufus. But the ambulance came and they took him to the hospital and they fixed the broken bones and they sewed it all up. And the next time I saw Rufus, he had just a little line down the middle of his face. I never got over that. That was what one person could do for another. Fix him up, sew up the problem, make him all right again. And that was the most marvelous thing in the world. I wanted to do that. I always thought it was the one concrete thing in the world that a human being could do. Fix up the sick, you know, and make them whole again. This was truly being God.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Be sure to follow the new Instagram at Blackter Podcast. Come back next week, September 15th, to hear the 2-part season finale episode. Until then, I'm Gabe Moses, and Black Artists Matter.